I guess we could start selling random ads, like, I don't know, Simply Safe or something. Maybe we could, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Some kind of deodorant commercial. When you get audited, don't you sweat? Stop sweat during audits.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. This is episode 408. We are coming to you live and pre-recorded all at the same time.
We record it live.
That's right.
In front of our live studio audience of each other.
I got some dogs over here listening. They get more HIPAA training than most folks in the clinical world.
Right.
Speaking of HIPAA training, today we're going to be talking about more free training that's available to you. And also some new OCR action. Da-na-da-na-da.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
That's right. But before we do, Donna, you feeling any better?
Dude. Stop still, poking the bear.
You still sound a little stuffy there.
Look, I get some semblance of over COVID. I'm still dealing with the tired stuff, and then I had to have a tooth extracted. Oof. So... it's not pretty. It's not pretty. My face was so swollen. It's a little better now, but and right now the bruise hasn't come all the way out. So I'm looking real good. Really, feeling awesome, dude. Liquid soft food diet. No diet cokes. No alcohol. Not anything fizzy.
Wow.
Okay, I'm done now.
That sounds like torture.
I'm cranky, David. So we need to get this done.
All right, dude. Well, let's drive on through then. I do want to say thanks to those who listen every week that are donors and give us your support. And for those who leave reviews and all that, we appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
All right, so let's get into our HIPAA Say What segment. There has been yet another HIPAA investigation, which ended in a settlement.
Mm-hmm. And, a settlement and a 2-year corrective action plan.
So this is all, for all you business associates out there who think all you have to do is sign the BAA that comes from your covered entity. Just saying, that's not all you have to do. There's more to it than that. Mm-hmm. This settlement is for a business associate. You know, sometimes we hear, well, business associates, they don't have to worry about it. Not true.
Uh-uh.
Or as I like to say, wrong.
Yeah, big time.
But as we also like to do, we like to look at these and see, okay, what is it that OCR found? What are they saying should have been done or needs to be done? What's the corrective action look like and all that? So let's move past the shiny settlement numbers to see what is it that business associates should be doing, because we take these settlements and we look into them, and they are the roadmaps for what should be happening. So let's see.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty easy to say you're supposed to do HIPAA security rule and part of the privacy rule requirements.
Be more specific, and, Donna.
I know, right? All right, so this is with Med Evolve, and I think they're in Arkansas or somewhere. Anyway, not in the Southeast for a change.
not in Atlanta.
They provide practice management, revenue cycle management, and practice analytics software services to covered entities. Mm-hmm. So they do a lot of things, but it's software. Software. All you software people listening? Okay, good. Mm-hmm. All right. So what had happened was in July 2018, they reported a breach stating that an FTP server that had PHI was openly accessible to the internet.
Hmm. First of all, congratulations for reporting it like you're supposed to.
I know, right?
So good for them.
Yeah, and it was more than 500, so as is their process, OCR investigates every report of breaches of unsecured PHI affecting 500 or more people. Okay, so that means, hey, we're going to investigate you because you told us that you had this breach in July 2018. You told us about it. Make note of that.
Yeah. And just to reiterate this point for the 408th time, if you have breaches of less than 500, still reportable.
Yes. You must report them as well. It's just not a guaranteed investigation, nor do you have to tell the press. Everything else you have to do, you have to notify the patient within 60 days, and you do have until the end of February of the following year, if it's less than 500. If it's mm-hmm. more than 500, you've got to tell OCR within 60 days, as well as the patients, and 60 days from discovery.
Yeah.
And that is, and as they say repeatedly, is it really 60 days you have to tell, David?
Yeah. Oh, you may want to say why you say end of February versus 60 days from the end of the year.
Yeah.
Well, somebody's going to say, that's not accurate, Donna.
I know, right? It's 60 days from the end of the calendar year where it occurred if it's less than 500. And because we have a thing called leap year, it gets confusing over what that 60-day date could be. So rather than worrying about a day or two, I just tell everybody, look, just assume it's the end of February, and then you're never going to screw up.
Yep.
There you go. Do it as the end of February. You have that in your mind. You have that in the plan. And then you never, because what's a day or two? Just make the plan. But the thing is, on the notification to the patient, it shouldn't be done at 60 days. You're really not supposed to wait until the 59th or 60th day. You're supposed to notify as soon as possible, but no more than 60 days.
Without undue delay.
That's right. And this was one of those where clearly they did 60 days, but I don't know, then it became more confusing. Anyway, so they have this FTP server. So first of all, what's an FTP server? It file transfer protocol. Mm-hmm. And what that is a technology that's been in place, I don't know, as long as TCP has been around, maybe longer, where you can connect. It's probably longer. It's longer. I'm going to go with that. Anyway, long freaking time. So what it does is it lets you go to that server and drop off information and pick up information, and you can choose whether to allow that to be open to anybody or allow it only if you log in, and then only if you log in a certain way, and then only if you log in with proper security controls in place. And there's different versions of it. There's FTP, SSL, and then SFTP. There's a lot of different versions. Plain FTP, even the transmissions aren't secured. So first of all, the transmissions aren't secured if it's plain FTP. So now you're in trouble for the encryption. But they didn't mention that, so we're going to assume it was some other. And it was open to the internet. So any file there, anybody could go get if they found it. And don't think it doesn't take long to find something. Pop something new out there, David. How long does it take for some scan to find it? When you pop a new...
We're less than minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I've seen people say that within seconds of popping something new out there, they've, you know... It gets pinged or scanned or something.
Yeah, it's really quick. I know some things I've put out there before, it's been four minutes maybe before something starts hitting it. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy how quick it is.
Yeah, you don't have time to mess around. Because then an alarm will go, so, hey, this looks interesting. Somebody come look.
I mean, I've even had that with like a new website. Just buy the domain, put the site on there, start trying to build it. Within less than 10 minutes, I'm getting, you know, attempted logins. I'm like, I just put the thing out there.
They're trying to hit it right away.
I know.
That's crazy, but it's true. So the weird thing on this one is they talk about the server sitting out there, and they identify May 4th, 2018. They discover that this thing is not secured and accessible since January 1st, 2018. So from January 1, so they loaded it up, new feature, somebody was doing over the holidays, ta-ta-ta-ta. And do you think they were taking their time and doing a checklist? Well, we already know that, or we wouldn't be talking about it. Anyway, so what do you got there? All of January, all of February, all of March, all of April, beginning of May, they find it. So they find it May 4th, but they report it June 10th. So I'm going to go with May 4th. It's probably more than 60 days, first of all, right at it. So, but they did do it probably because somebody said you got to do it. But for some reason, I mean, you know, if it's wide open and it's been sitting there wide open for months, it's been found.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need to do forensics or any of that stuff. You know, it's been found. You should do them, but you don't need to do them to start notifying people. That's all I'm saying. In this case, they notified July 10th, but then they filed an addendum July 30th, 2018. Okay, so that's not uncommon. You say we have the problem. We're still trying to identify how many people. We know it's at least this. Mm-hmm. Then you come back and you update the number. It's great. Awesome. So what happens is that's sitting there. They start the investigation, and I don't know what happened. They don't tell you what happened, but in August 2020, over 2 years later, they amend the notice again.
Huh.
I know. So I'm not really sure what was going on. Maybe they found things in the investigation that required them to go amend it. That would be my guess. But they had 230,572 individuals at two different covered entities. So then they proceed to tell you the covered entities, bless their hearts, they trusted them. Premier Immediate Medical Care had 204,000, and Dr. Beverly Held had 25,965.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of bars of gold. And they even had evidence. They knew for a fact. It says OCR has evidence that the covered entity, that both covered entities' data was viewed by at least one unauthorized individual during it was open. So as soon as you find one, go ahead and keep looking, but you should start notifying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So clearly, we know they didn't do an SRA because almost every one of them that involves some sort of something like this, there's no SRA. But then they had a failure to enter into a business associate agreement with a subcontractor, David.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So this is my point from earlier. You know, you get a covered entity comes in and they hire a business associate, and the covered entity says, we need you to sign a business associate agreement. And then the business associate might say, okay, we'll just sign it because they need it for us to do business with them. Well, again, that's not where your liability and your work stops, because now you've got to look at, are there any downstream vendors that are now business associates to you, to which you have to have a business associate agreement with?
Mm-hmm. And the tail keeps going.
Oh, yeah.
So it could just go on forever. And as long as the PHI is there, it keeps going. So that was quite telling, which says whoever set up the FTP server is my guess. Didn't have a BAA, but it could be any, because once they start looking, they can look at anything.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't say who they didn't, but you're right. They're probably just signing whatever the covered entity did or signing whatever they needed there and then not worrying about them downstream. They don't have a system to make sure they get them. Maybe they worry about them on big ones and then they didn't worry about them. Maybe it was an MSP.
Mm-hmm.
But they did point out that hacking and IT incidents are now the most frequent large breach. 79% of the time there is a large breach in 2022, that it was due to some sort of hacking IT thing, and that the network servers themselves are the largest category location-wise.
Yeah. I wish I would separate that part, though, because hacking and IT incidents, like in this case, mm-hmm. If you had a public-facing FTP server that wasn't secured, that's not hacking. Like, yeah. That's just, you just had the door open.
Come on nobody, in.
Yeah, nobody had to pick the lock to get in. You just had the door open.
Right. So, we don't know all the details. We do know that OCR's investigation found several things, that the information was disclosed. They didn't have a business associate agreement. And they hadn't done their SRA and risk management plan that it is obligated to do. Actually, what's the statement here? MedEvolve's assessment of the potential risk and vulnerabilities to the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of EPHI held by it as a business associate was not sufficiently accurate or thorough. All you got to do is, so they did something, but they didn't do something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I wish we knew more about those.
Yeah. I'd like to see what they did do so that we could compare it to what the cap says they're going to do. And the cap is the same as we've been seeing. That's way more specific than it used to be. And I really like the way it says it, because then we say, this is how we do them and why.
Yeah. This is where you get into the scary part where people come in and say, we're going to do a risk assessment for you. And that's when you're using the same terminology, but different meanings.
Uh-huh.
And we see that all the time, especially when an IT company comes in and says, we're going to do a HIPAA risk assessment for you.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are they're not doing a HIPAA risk assessment for you in a way that OCR wants to see it, right? Because they don't know any better. And there are vendors out there telling them that they can do this.
Well, and the other thing is, I use that as an element of our assessments.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the assessment. It is an element of the assessment. So what they're doing is an element of the bigger assessment. But to assume, and we know about assume,
mm-hmm.
but to assume that you don't do more than that and that that's enough is where these people probably were, is what it sounds like. They did something, but they didn't do the right thing.
Right.
So what is it that OCR wanted us to know? David, with their always the director's quote.
Yeah. So the director, she says, ensuring that security measures are in place to protect EPHI information where it is stored is an integral part of cybersecurity and the protection of patient privacy. HIPAA-regulated entities must ensure they're not leaving patient health information unsecured on network servers available to the public via the internet.
Wow. I think that's pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're not sharing this with the whole world.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you have it, folks. $350,000 plus, and that's just to OCR. We can tell you this cost them way more than $350,000. Plus 2-year corrective action plan.
Yep. Yeah. Anytime you're dealing with something connected to the internet or the network, because oftentimes it's both, you need to not assume, you need to look at it, and you need to check it periodically, because potentially this thing could have been secured at some point, maybe.
Oh, and yeah, somebody you're right.
Somebody came in and did some work on it, or there was an update or whatever, but you can't just set it and forget it. You have to come in periodically and double check these things. Don't just say, well, we know the thing's secure because we secured it when we set it up. It might not still be secure for a number of reasons.
No, so, you're right. That's why we audit things. We do technical audits. We do policy and procedure audits. We audit things because we got to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to prove it.
Back to the don't assume rule.
I know, right?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, verify. Even when clients come to us in my IT firm and they say, I'm doing an assessment, whether it's for insurance or otherwise, I want to know if our computers have BitLocker turned on.
Mm-hmm.
Although we know 95% of the time that it's the case, it is turned on. We don't answer, we know it's turned on because we turned it on. We have a ticket showing that we turned it on. Whatever. We don't do that. My instruction to my team is you will always go and verify because you never know what happened.
Yeah.
So go and verify. Don't just assume, even if you got proof that we turned it on a year ago, don't assume that it's turned on. Go and look and make sure.
Don't assume.
No.
So that is that deal. So you can use that as your yet another example of what you're supposed to do when you're doing your risk analysis. Again, just go read some of these.
Mm-hmm.
Just go read some. So that being said, that is our HIPAA Say What thing of the day. But there's also some 405D stuff and free training. What?
Yeah. I mean, for all those who can't afford training that we still hear people say, like, I can't buy it. Well, you don't have to anymore.
Yeah.
There's tons of free training available.
Now, this is cybersecurity training. This is not privacy training. This is not HIPAA training. This is security awareness training.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps you see, you know, if you can at least get this out there and make sure that your team evaluates it, we've got a fighting chance of it getting through.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one we'll cover is 405D, which is the product we're calling Knowledge on Demand.
COD,
K-O-D. It's hit COD. Hit COD. Boy. Can't wait to tell Jane that. It's hit COD. All right. So we're going to have to start using a little torture. But so K-O-D it's training about the five threats identified under HICCP. So it's designed to be interactive. And there's knowledge checks and all of those things. And then you get CEU certificates when you're done. And the good news is, you know, you have the ability with both of these that we're talking about to have you can do it online where it's at. If you don't have these things built in, send people there and have them print out the certificates so that you can prove what they've done. That they've gone through it, and then you have one for each of the five threats, which are
social engineering, ransomware, loss or theft of equipment and data, accidental, intentional, or malicious data loss, and lastly, attacks against network-connected medical devices.
What? It's totally awesome. So you have each of those, and it's designed for non-technical people to understand what those threats mean and why you need to be aware and the things that you need to do. Now, what we've done with this is really cool because you've got the video and you can see it online and you can get the CEUs and all of that stuff, but you can also take it and put it in your LMS. That is a learning management system, and it's using a thing called a SCORM file. And what that lets us do is we download each of those courses and put them into the learning systems that you may use. So Cardin's training portal, for example, we already have it in there. We had it in there waiting to release it. You know, so now it's in the Cardin training portal. You can put it, if you use some sort of learning management tool where you have training that is built in, HR systems sometimes have it. And there's all of these kind of things that you can then import this training into, and then it includes documentation of this training and the certificates with your other training documentation, which is really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And the other feature is that you can choose with the 405D Knowledge on Demand. It has two pieces of collateral that come with it. One is a thing that we call the job aid. So if you're, even if you're having your people watch the video online or in your LMS, doesn't matter, you can download, it's like a little one pager that says, what should I be asking about? What should I do if I learn these things, and who should I contact? And you fill in the contact info for your organization. Mm-hmm. And then you have custom made, you can use them to give to every employee. You can use them as posters around the office. You can put them in manuals, wherever it works for you. But those things, really awesome. And I'm a big fan of anything that you can have that's separate from the training to remind them of the training. And these are designed using the same look, feel, and terminology. So the job aid, great to do no matter whether you're doing LMS or doing it online.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing it gives you is you can get the actual PowerPoint deck that is covered in the video training and download that. It gives you speaker notes and everything so that you can do those sessions yourself in training with your staff. So you have every option you need. You can make it live training. You've got the associated collateral to go with both, and you can put it in any video access that you need.
Boom.
I know.
We call this no excuse training.
That's right. No excuse training. Maybe that's what we should have called it. N-E-T. It's HICNET.
I like it.
HICCODNET. There we go.
You're going off the rails now.
Told you. My brain ain't working right. Nowhere. No idea where we're going to go next. So, big fan of that. You can find all of that at the 405d.hhs.gov website.
Mm-hmm.
You can search for Knowledge on Demand, 405D. It'll take you to it. But seriously, encourage you to go and pick one. And you can do one a month and send it out to your staff. And, hey, everybody needs to do this and send me your certificate.
Yep.
And, you know, please do it yourself, not have somebody, you know, tell when you send it out, I need you personally to do it, not tell somebody to go do it and say it was you. Don't mm-hmm. do that.
Yeah.
I always hate that trick.
Go ahead and tell everybody we're just about what? By the time this airs, about 4 months away from Cybersecurity Awareness, Cybersecurity Month, not Cybersecurity Awareness Month.
National Cybersecurity Awareness Month.
Yeah, National Cybersecurity
CSAM. Cybersecurity Awareness Month. CSAM.
So we're doing that in October. And I got another thing floating around in my head about some kind of month, but I've been working on another program for something completely unrelated to cybersecurity in May. So my brain's sitting there fighting over the 2 months.
I watched that go on, folks. I watched it go on in his eyes.
I know. You see, my eyes started going.
Overload, smoke coming out. I know. Okay. So your point is you could use these during that time if you wanted to, along with other things come out during that time as well. So you could use these now and then tag into the others along the way, because we also have other training. So while the 405D Knowledge on Demand is created to be for non-technical people to understand the five threats, the HSCC Health Sector Coordinating Council Cybersecurity Working Group. I know, right? Which kind 405D is kind of part of that. And that's why we, you know, we hook things together.
Mm-hmm.
But they did this through a partnership with them and HISAC, the information sharing group. And it is specifically for clinicians, designed to teach them about cybersecurity from a clinician's point of view.
Yep. And this is video on demand.
Yes. VOD. COD and VOD. Oh, so they're two different training programs. You can use them however you want. They both are eligible for CEUs. They both can be imported into your LMS. They both can be used without having to get an LMS and import it.
Yeah.
And we'll have the direct link to the YouTube course playlist that has an opening explaining it. There are 8 sections in the playlist, modules, I don't know, what episodes is what they're calling them. And it covers everything from, you know, its job really is not about the specifics of the 5 threats as much as it is understanding the environment and patient safety impacts and the consequences when these things happen. There's a session on how do they do it. And it explains what the attackers are actually doing. They do go into medical device security, some tips for protection, and they even talk about what happens after an attack, what you have to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
So these are 8 episodes. Anyone can use them, but they are specifically designed to talk to a clinician about the importance of cybersecurity. So if you don't use some of these, that's kind of like saying, I don't care. You know, I will watch all of these. I mean, I've watched some of them already, but I will watch all of these myself so I can see what's in them and better understand, particularly interested in how they, and they worked with clinicians to make sure that this spoke to them. And right. No matter what part of that, you know, you're in, I really want to learn from that. What, you know, the way that they found that was an effective way. So mm-hmm. Strongly encourage everyone. You can get to it at the healthsectorcouncil.org cyber clinician videos, or you could just go to, it would be way easier to just go to either the 405D discussion on episode 405, which we will always remember. Mm-hmm. Where we talked about these briefly with Eric. We have links in that episode, and we'll have links in this episode that take you. In this episode, it will have the actual YouTube course playlist. So you just click right there, and you can say play all. And, you know, they're 2 minutes. The longest one looks to be like 7 minutes. Yeah, that's the longest one, 7 minutes. Most of them run about 6 minutes and something. So, and when I say 7 minutes, it's because it's 6 minutes and 59 seconds. So I guess we could say they're all under 7 minutes.
Yeah. And if you don't want to go out searching for all these resources and you want them all in one place, I suggest that you look at Cardin Club or HIPAA for MSPs, because we bring all that content together with a whole bunch of other training content.
Oh yeah, we have everything organized, and we'll continue to do so as new things come out, so that, you know, we may not be instantaneous. We're getting it there as quick as we can. We make sure we get alerts out that come out to everybody, but we also have one-stop shop for all that information, because there's so much good stuff out there freely available that anyone can use, but people don't know how to find it. If they know it exists, they don't mm-hmm. know how to find it. So that's a big piece of what we do. So yes, you know, good job there, David, remembering to sell our day job.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I understand we make millions off the podcast, but, you know, we still have other jobs.
That big goose egg hurts, man. It's not, it's a negative. The accounting people always go, tell me again what this is.
Yeah. Why are you doing it for free?
Can't you make money off of it? It's complicated. It's complicated. I guess we could start selling random ads like, I don't know, Simply Safe or something. Maybe we could. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Some kind of deodorant commercial. When you get audited, don't you sweat? Stop sweat during audits.
There you go. Can somebody get us a... Oh, that's funny.
The next time you get an OCR letter, make sure that you use this deodorant.
That's Mr. Sims is part of it there. And since I'm feeling so horrible, I'm going to say I'm done with that.
All right, folks, that is our show for today. You should have enough knowledge and laughter to last till next week.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. All right, we'll see you then. Remember, HIPAA's not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.